Welcome back to Range Anxiety, and just for something different today, because I know how much y'all love it, we've got ourselves an R35 GTR to go through and have a look at. Not again, yes again. And you know why? Because this, yeah, it looks pretty stock, it looks a bit unloved, but this thing here is the ultimate Q-car GTR that I have ever come across in all my days. Now, I've known this car for a very long time. It's a 2009 ADM car. It was actually delivered to Darwin, and the guy lost his keys, I reckon, he lost his keys, yeah, in about 2013-14, and the vehicle actually got shipped to me down in Adelaide because there wasn't anyone in Darwin. The Nissan dealer couldn't actually fix it. So he couldn't fix it, so the car came to me. And I sent the car to Main North Nissan, who were our local dealer, and after some time, they got some keys together for it, and up to Darwin she went. Now, I didn't see it again. While we had it, we did a cob tune on it. We did a mid-pipe, you know, all of that really cool stuff that you do to a newish GTR. Yeah, and it went back off to Darwin up north, and then it turned up, I reckon, I'm not sure if it came back to us and we sold it for the client or another client of mine found it directly. I'm not sure how that happened, how we got it. But anyway, Damien that owns this now has built pretty much something from nothing, from a fairly unloved 09 with basic mods. This thing here is the ultimate, right? The ultimate, most extreme circuit machine that you could really want. I mean, you know, there are some cars out there that are more extreme in terms of power, and there are some cars out there that are more extreme in terms of wheel and tire combo. But overall, as a balanced package, this thing is bloody awesome. And the big first hint you'll see is it's got standard rears with AP J-hooks on them. On the front, it's got full endless competition brake upgrade on it. So one of the weaknesses with GTRs on a racetrack was the fact that they didn't bloody well stop that. Well, they did, but not too many times because of the weight and the design of the brakes. This thing will stop all day. And that's just a hint as to some of the things that have been done to it. I'll get Justin to show you quickly the inside. It's even got special GTR Recaro airbag seats in it that are much nicer than the standard chair. You know, it's just little touches like that that have added up to make this thing super duper special. So let's take a little look under the hood and we'll talk about the mechanicals, and I'll get to wave my wand around just a little bit more. So with the hood popped, the bonnet up, it's a pretty unspectacular looking thing. The reason being is that this guy only put stuff on that was gonna make a difference, right? There's no fancy looking carbony things or you know, no painted special stuff. It's all work so it can all play. Now we'll start at the very back. Fully built transmission, Albon's gear set, Dodson clutches, all ready to go. Upgraded front wheel drive, clutch assembly and the GR6 transmission. Seems pretty tough, you know, hasn't missed a beat since it's been built. It's a good one, right? So sprinkled all of the goods into the trans, which is great. Holding the trans in and actually holding this engine in, I can't actually show you, but you've got to trust me on this, are tubular subframes. All of the big stamped, pressed, tin Nissan subframes have gone in the bin and are replaced with super lightweight tubular subframes with infinitely variable, not infinitely variable, but highly variable geometry settings, so you can change things around. The control arms are also adjustable. Pretty neat stuff. I wondered if it was ever going to fit and go back in the car when we put the engine in on it, but true to form, it lined up and it was a pretty darn good product. Now, the heart of this thing is a Crest CNC billet block. She's a 4.1 litre, I believe. So a bloody good thing. 4.1 seems to be the size for maximum durability, I suppose you could say, and the lowest crankshaft stress. It's got a Sonny Bryant crank. It's got all the good gear from ETS in the motor. It's got some Kelford Camtec cams in it. It's a pretty wild thing, right? The engine itself. It's built, you know, it's a 1500 to 1800 to 2000 horsepower combo internally. It's making nowhere near that, again, because it's a circuit car. So being circuit based and looking for response, the turbochargers are a set of TSM Elites. So they're stock manifold. So everything fits nicely and bolts on. We used to actually have these turbos on the Billet Roll Racing GDR before we went absolutely berserk on that. Now they're on here, and they do a beautiful, beautiful job. At wastegate pressure, it makes 550 kilowatts at the hubs on E85. So, you know, it'll make an easy 1,000 horsepower at the wheels at 28 to 30 PSI of boost when the owner sort of grows into that, which is fine. I mean, you know, you don't really need that much horsepower. And look, there's a plane, the plane. This is like Fantasy Island here. You don't really need 1,000 horsepower for the track. I keep telling my business partner, John Munro, that, but he doesn't listen and he wants 1,000 horsepower for the circuit. I personally don't think it's required. What else is there? We've got the top of the line Litchfield adjustable suspension, because of course, when you're building a track GDR, you want your comfort mode to really work. And of course, the comfort mode does work properly in this car, just as the sun gets hidden behind some clouds and makes me look all stupid or stupider. Stupid is as stupid does. So it's got fully adjustable Litchfield suspension in it. The race setting apparently is quite nice. I haven't driven this car on the track. We got big inlets, obviously. Speed density mapped. We've got the Boost Logic catch can. And we've also got the sharp eyed, might notice there, oh, my Space Wizard wand was stuck to it, is another catch can. Now that catch can is actually four, because this thing has a front limited slip differential. We thought that the diff housing was cracked, and to fix that, as it was leaking everywhere, you would have to pull the engine out again, and we really didn't want to do that. So we put some blue dye in it and had a look and put it up on the hoist and had a look where it's coming from. And the LSD assembly inside the, it's got a billet front diff housing, was pumping oil out of the breather. So we've actually put a catch can with a drain back for the front diff, so it doesn't spray oil everywhere. It just puts it up into the catch can and rolls it back into the can when it's finished. Quite a neat touch. I've never seen a GDR do that before. I've seen us have to put catch cans on the rear when we overfill them for roll racing or drag racing, but never, that's a transmission, but never on a front diff housing. Big ass intercooler in it, of course. It's just a fantastic thing, and running the whole shebang is a Cyvex S7 plug and play engine management system. One of my favorites on the GDR. It's just a favorite, so I know how to use it, and it's got so much diversity in terms of custom channel programming and stuff like that. It's amazing. It does a beautiful job of running this car. This car also does normal duties on 98 octane unleaded, but when it goes to the track, I mean, you can run it on 98 octane unleaded there, but when it goes to the track, out comes the E85 in it, goes switch maps and away on the steering wheel, and away you go. So yeah, this isn't the most obviously modified GDR, but it is one of the best under the skin that I've had the experience to work and the pleasure to work with. So there you go, something a bit different, an R35 on range anxiety, but you know what? Someone's got to do it, so it might as well be me.